Nations tried to, that the UN has tried to pass condemning Israel for its war crimes. It's time for us to have a different representative to the UN who doesn't overlook Israel's crimes.
And what's been the response from conference attendees to the protests outside?
You know, every year it's a mixed reaction. Generally, the people who go to AIPAC are not friendly at all. They're nasty, they're rude, they sit, they push, which, you know, on the one hand doesn't really surprise me because they're people who are pushing for belligerent foreign policy that are not in any way based in compassion. But then, you know, every so often we engage in conversation with some folks attending AIPAC who don't know that much about the lobby and who are willing to listen to our perspective. AIPAC pays for the student government to come to the AIPAC conference, and they particularly target students of color and students from Christian universities. And so a lot of those young people come to Washington, D.C., thinking that they're just getting a free ride to go lobby and get to know our nation's capital, and they don't understand the implications of AIPAC's agenda. And so we have had some great conversations and hopefully pulled some people over to the side of human rights.
And do you see a connection here between the moves by Netanyahu and AIPAC to try to pressure Obama on the issue of Iran?
Well, yeah, that's why Netanyahu's in town. Diplomacy has been working. John Kerry says it's working, and Obama says it's working. And, you know, there's been a bill up in Congress to tighten sanctions on Iran. And, you know, Obama and Kerry have come out and said that this will, in fact, harm the peace talks, if not entirely derail them. And so Netanyahu was invited by John Boehner to come and speak to counter that claim. So we know that that's his mission. Netanyahu is just a bully. He's coming here to push his way around Congress in Washington, D.C., and we're going to show our opposition.
I understand that the Dream Defenders and Black Lives Matter are involved in your protest. Do you see connections between the movement that began in Ferguson last August and the movement to end the Israeli policies toward Palestinians?
Yeah, there's lots of connections. You know, there's some that are literal and some more figurative. I mean, literally, you know, we can look at the connection of American police forces that are trained in Israel, which is actually quite horrifying. And then, you know, on the other hand, we see the parallels of militarism within American and Israeli society. The policing of communities, especially communities of color, and the horrifically discriminatory and racist practices of, you know, armed law enforcement in the United States and in Israel. So there is definitely a connection. And, you know, it was amazing that the Dream Defenders took that historic trip to Palestine just recently. And, we're glad to be joining with them in this struggle for Palestinian human rights.
Well, I do want to thank you for joining us. Again, I've been speaking with Allie McCracken. She's with Code Pink. They're protesting the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee that's meeting right now in Washington, D.C. Their website for more information is codepink.org. Allie, thank you for joining us on KBOO.
Thanks so much for having me on.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, you're out in your cab alone, to you waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, for the working class, by the working class, here on KABU 97 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and currently the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. And as usual, tonight I'm joined by my co-host.
Hi, this is Dr. Audrey Terrell, Vice President of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists and retired from the International United Auto Workers.
Good evening, listeners. This is Deborah Hall. I'm with the American Federation of Teachers and also with the Portland NAACP.
So tonight, our segment will highlight, actually it's the first of two. So tonight, the segment will highlight a local organization called Constructing Hope. And our guest tonight is Patricia Daniels, who's the executive director. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you.
So, Patricia, looking into your organization, Constructing Hope, it seems to me that one of the mantras is we build futures. So can you give our listeners some idea on just how you go about doing that?
Well, thank you. I think I'll start with just sharing our mission. The mission of Constructing Hope is to rebuild the lives of people in our community, and we do that through encouraging self-sufficiency through training and education in the construction trades. And we offer a 9-week program that's free to the individual. A little bit more about the program. In this 9-week program, our participants are introduced to construction through classes, through hands-on training, and an introduction to union and non-unions. In the 9 weeks, we give them an introduction to the culture of the unions and of working in the trades. They learn how to build, starting from building small things like, you know, just a little box moving to a sawhorse. And we end the training with building a shed. So they do get some great hands-on opportunities. In addition to that, we actually take them out into community and we try and help seniors stay in their home through working with programs like PCRI, Reach Community, and Community Energy Project, where we actually go into seniors' homes and they do small projects, maybe putting some handrails up, rebuilding some stairs, anything that they might need to help them stay in their homes.
So it sounds like this is a pre-apprentice program?
Yes, Constructing Hope is, I'm sorry, it's a pre-apprenticeship training program. We were certified by the state of Oregon in 2007, and I think we're one of the newest programs that's been certified by the state.
Okay, so you have instructors that come in and that take the students kind of under their wing and give them some basic ideas on what it's like to be a tradesperson?
Yes, our lead instructor is Fred Kreitz, and Fred is awesome. Fred is a construction, he's a journey carpenter. He's actually run his own business, and his father was a carpenter as well. So he brings a lot of history into the class. As we run the program, we try and make sure that we have people that look like our students. So I should go back and say our program actually targets people coming out of incarceration. A little bit of history about the program is it started with Irvington Covenant Church back in 1995 with Pastor Henry Greenwich. He had a love for just people who were outside, and he didn't realize why they were there and why these young men were not working. When he asked about it and talked with them individually, he found out that a lot of them had a felony background and it was deterring them from getting to work. As he asked questions and said, you know, would they be willing to work? Of course, everybody was said yes. So Irvington Church started an affordable housing program with the Ready to Work program, and that's how the beginning of Constructing Hope came into play. In 2007, we took that Ready to Work program and decided that what could we do to give it teeth so that people could not only get into the trades but be retained. We saw them getting in, but there was little retention. And as we became a pre-apprenticeship training program, it adds certifications to help them better get into the trades and maintain those positions. So in 2009, we moved to our current location, which is 405 Northeast Church Street, changed our name to Constructing Hope because we used to be Irvington Covenant CDC. And today we are Constructing Hope Pre-Apprenticeship Training Program. We run 3 classes a year. We have a class in the fall that begins in January, so we have a current class right now that's going to be graduating March 19th. Our next class is going to start April 15th, where we are looking right now to bring in more people, 25 in particular, 25 people for a class that's going to start April 15th. And our last class of the year starts in September.
So how does a person get involved in your apprentice program?
The first way to get involved is stop by and see us. We're right off of MLK on Church Street. If you're familiar with Northeast Portland, we're one block north of Killingsworth. Our office is open from 7 a.m. to 4, Monday through Friday. Stop in and see us. We have orientations twice a month on the 2nd and the 4th Monday of every month at 1:30. In the orientation, it's a great time for you to see a movie. If you're not sure what constructions look like, this is an opportunity for you to actually see that. And after you watch the movie, we talk to you just about our program, the certifications that the students or participants get. While they're in the program, we start out with safety. Safety is most important. So the first certification that they get is an OSHA 10 safety. Once you complete your OSHA, we have first aid CPR and confined small space confinement. Once you're done with those, then class begins for us. But the surprise is, and it's not a surprise, class for us starts at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So you really have to want to do construction to come into our program. So that's the orientation part to say, you know, is this something that a person that can commit to be in class 6:30 to 4, but only on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because we realize that people have lives, and this is not a paid program. So you will not receive a stipend while you attend the program, but we do ask you for a commitment to the 9 weeks. At the end of that 9 weeks, we're working with organizations, or we're working with both union and non-union. So in order for you to become an apprentice, once you complete our program, currently we have a great relationship with Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute. They provide our students with direct entry upon graduating the class. But we have a great relationship with IBEW, Local 48 Electricians. We have a great relationship with the laborers, Local 290. In addition, the cement masons, we offer an advanced boot camp for graduates. So we have great relationships with all of the unions, and we work with non-union as well.
Patricia, I'm a retired from the UAW Women's Department. And often it's very difficult to encourage women to go into the trade and do that physical work. You know, what can you say to women that it's okay to be an electrician? It's okay to be a carpenter. You will not only do well, but you learn a trade, but you also will be have a well-paying job.
You know, that is the number one thing. My good friend Donna Hammond is going to be very happy that I am remembering her at this time. I remember growing up, and Donna wanted me to become an electrician. Donna was one of the first African-American electrician that I know of. So I'm going to say I admire her quite a bit. I wish we could trade paychecks right now. But, you know, women can do anything that they want to do. We have always been the backbone. You always say behind every good man, there's a good woman. And, you know, the same is true in being in the trades. There's nothing that the men can't do that the women can't do as well. And actually, when you look at, I'm going to say, our program at Constructing Hope, we partner a lot with Oregon Trade Women, but in our program, we take women and men. Our current class, we have the most women we've ever had. We're not out. We have 8 women in our current class. On average, we have 3 women in every class, and I can tell you that the women who come through the program are just phenomenal. I'm going to just call Miss Isis Harris out. She's a young African-American woman that went through our class. Isis was the first person in her class to gain employment while still in the class.
Excellent. Oh, wonderful.
So, you know, I'm just going to say, women, just know that you're empowered to do whatever it is that you want to do. And, you know, it's all about the techniques, the heavy work that you have to do. There's techniques that you learn to do that. And just like men, you know, we do physical fitness training. So there's nothing that they can't do. Mm-hmm. And right now we have diversity goals. So women, you're wanted. If you're out here looking for something to do, there's Oregon Trade Women that focus only on women. And then there's Constructing Hope that has both men and women. So the opportunity from both programs, the programs are free to you. All you have to do is walk through the door. We give you a 3-year commitment to support you to enter whatever trade you're interested in. And, you know, I don't know if any other program that provides support to anybody for 3 years to help you be successful in whatever it is that you want to do.
Just let me share with you, Patricia, that I drove a forklift at General Motors, and I worked many hours, and I built a home by myself because I drove that forklift. So it pays well. And with women, you can accomplish so many things.
And guess what? You can repair things in your own home.
So, Patricia, want to give our listeners some idea again on how to get in touch with Constructing Hope?
Okay. First, I'm going to say check out our website. You can find us at www.constructinghope.org. You can call our office. We're listed 503-281-1234. We paid a lot for that phone number.
This is very exciting to me, Patricia, because what I know of is if folks can, you know, get some good self-sustaining jobs, that is certainly the access to, you know, a lot of good things that are going to happen in your life. And, you know, for people to think about construction, just imagine that you've worked on a construction site and now it's, say, 10 or 15 years down the road and you're driving down the street and you have your grandkids in the car and you can say, you know, because I know people who work in construction and there's so much pride when they can tell folks, I helped work on, you know, the Coliseum or the whatever it is, you know, you can see some of the fruits of your labor and also, you know, provide yourself with a good life with some good benefits, a good paycheck and something sustainable for you and your family in the future.
So for our listeners who just joined us, this is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio here on KABU 97 FM. The show highlights the works of the working class, for the working class, by the working class. And KABU is where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. So we're interviewing Patricia Daniels, who's executive director of Constructing Hope. And so she's telling us about this vibrant program by which anyone who really wants to get out there and make a difference for their family, they have this opportunity in order to do that. And with us, the host being trade unionists, we would highly suggest that if you're looking for a job that pays more than minimum wage, if you're looking for building a future for your family, that you check out Construction Hope.
I just want to ask, how often do these programs, you mentioned earlier they're like nine or 10 weeks programs. How often do they start? Every 2 months, every 90 days?
We're set up pretty much like a school schedule. So we have a fall class.
Oh, I see.
We have a winter class and we have a spring class. Right now, our winter class is just ending. We're going to be graduating March 19th. We should have 21 people graduating. Our next class, spring, will begin April 15th. We're looking for people to apply for that class right now. And I can tell folks the process is very easy. A lot of people think, oh, I have to have skills in order to come into the pre-apprenticeship training program. No, that's what we teach you. So we're looking for people who are willing to be introduced, who are willing to try something like this for the first time. At the end of the 9 weeks, you may decide that this is not for me. Or you may decide that this is absolutely what I've been waiting on, and I've enjoyed working with my hands. The funniest thing for us is to see people come in through the door when they first come through, and it's like, I'm going to be a carpenter. And John Doe graduates, and he walks across the stage and say, I'm applying at IBEW, Local 48. And the person who comes in and says, I'm going to be an electrician, and they leave out, I'm taking my direct entry with Pacific Northwest Carpenters, and I'm going to be a millwright.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's really nice to see people come in. And again, it's an introduction to several trades. At the end of the day, we do want you to choose one because it's a career. And I think that's the one thing that most people have not been introduced to is knowing the difference between a job and a career. When I first started working, I had plenty of jobs. Right now, what I'm doing, this is my career. This is my passion to help people enter trades.
So let's just talk about you for a second. How is it that you got involved with this?
You know, when I got my master's at Concordia College, I had worked for Port of Portland for almost 17 years, putting a customer service program at Portland International Airport. I had recently come back from Atlanta Airport doing the same thing. So I was going to be a consultant, and I was going to consult airports on how to do better customer service. And, you know, we have our plans, and then God laugh. So it was an awful thing. My mom passed away, and in praying for purpose, I'm going to say Clarence Larkins. I always have to say his name because he asked me to come and help the church, Irvington Covenant Church, with the fundraiser. And the rest is history. I helped the church with the fundraiser. They hired me as their secretary. And I started out, I found passion in just helping the program. And today we're constructing Hope Pre-Apprenticeship Training Program. And Clarence Larkins and I are still good friends. And I just recently talked with Pastor David Greenwich, who was the executive director at Irvington Covenant CDC, when I came to help them. So I fell into it.
Wonderful. So you want to tell our listeners again and how to get in contact with Constructing Hope?
If you would like to start a career in the trades, you only have to be 18 years old with a high school diploma. Come to our office at 405 Northeast Church Street. That is one block north of Killingsworth. If you'd like to find out more about it, please look at our website, www.constructinghope.org. And our phone number, again, is very, very simple. It's 503-281. And if we know our numbers, it's 1-2-3-4.
Well, wow. Thank you for coming for this first segment, talking about Construction Hope. And we look forward to talking to you again next month about what happens to your students, to your graduates who actually do secure a job. We want to know how do you really prepare them for working, being in that work environment?
Thank you. Part of that is life skills. If you come to our class, one of the things that you're going to see is it really is a school. There is a midterm and there's a final. And I said the midterm is not to deter people. It's to show you what you need to do to complete the final and to be successful. We have three levels of graduates. So we teach introduction to blueprint reading. We have a life skills. We have construction applied math. So once they complete that, then there's an all-day hands-on training on Thursdays. You have certifications that you're going to receive that's going to be beneficial to you once you enter the trade. We talked about the OSHA 10. There's a forklift. There's a scissor lift. There's flagging. There's first aid, CPR. Those are all things that you're going to need once you get out into the trades that's beneficial to help you move up the list. When they select people coming into the trades, it's a point system. And these are the points that build you up to be a viable candidate.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Sister Audrey, do you want to, you have some announcements for us?
I'd just like to announce to the listening audience that the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we've been very actively involved in the Black History Month. We were active in the Trailblazers African American Heritage event, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, Women Appreciation event, the Black Doctors of the National Council of the Neopathic Medicine, and we also were involved in the Asian Pacific Women Empowerment. And so we've got a lot of things. We're involved in the community, let them know that we are here and how we can be supportive and being an advocate for Construction Hope, letting them know about the importance of being in union. I just want to inform the public that we will be having a table at the International Women's Day at PCC South Campus. Southeast Campus on March the 9th. If you want to come by and get more information on the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, that'll be a time to do that.
Or Constructing Hope.
We will have, you're going to have a table there too? Good.
Yes.
And I will be talking about you also. So this is, we are very active in the community and very visible too. So, Madam President, it's a lot going on. We want to encourage everyone, the importance about getting, not only getting a union job, but how important unions are.
Okay, so I'd like to remind our listeners that the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State County Municipal Employee Building. It's called the William Lucy Building, and it's located at 6025 East Burnside, Portland. Please join us on March 10th. So, Pat, do you have some last words for us regarding Construction and Hope in this first segment?
Well, I just like to say to anyone that thinks that they cannot do it, we also have a youth program. So our youth program is something new that we started with Northwest College of Construction. If you have youth that you would like to have introduced to construction, our summer program will be taking applications May 1st. Our youth program is going to be July 7th. It's going to be a five-week program. It's going to allow kids to have hands-on in heavy equipment, doing cement mason work, doing some tiling. It's actually a lot more hands-on for them than in our adult program, because the learning piece that goes with the adult program. So if you have kids that need something to do this summer, there's another option. Again, we target people who are coming out of incarceration, so it doesn't matter what your background is. But we also take people who are in the community who do not have a background and would just like to start a career. So again, if you're looking for a career, stop in at Constructing Hope.
I'd just like to add too, because I did, in being in a union 40 years, it has been so advantageous to my life. Just a whole gamut of raising a son and the things I wanted to do with my life as a single mother is so, being in a union means a lot. Pension-wise, not only pension-wise, but benefits-wise, a decent salary. So that is one thing that we want to get out to the community, how the importance of being in a union.
We may not all have an interest in, and I'm not kicking education to the curb at all, especially since I work in education, but, you know, you guys getting a good, stable job and, you know, particularly with some good union benefits can certainly get you and your family over and, you know, provide some things for your future. So think about it. And women, I want to challenge you. You women who like to cook and who like to sew, you're already in the trades. You're already machinist. You're already chemist. You already know those things. And if you like to work with your hands, perhaps here's a new opportunity for you. Check it out.
Just one more last thing, Madam President. I recall when Reverend Jesse Jackson was here and you heard him speak, and he was saying how the East Coast was looking at the West Coast, the Seattle, Portland, Silicon Valley, the focus was on this area because this is where the jobs are. So I say that just to be encouraging to those who are, you're in the right place at the right time. Just get the training, just get the education you need to fulfill a career that you can take care of not only your family, but yourself too.
Well, I can't think of any other, when you think of apprenticeship, most people don't realize that they're paying you to learn. They're paying you to be an expert in your trade. The average person graduating from our class is making $17 an hour. I didn't get to start at $17 an hour. I think I talked to you about my master's degree and working at $10 an hour. I'm not disrespecting education. I, too, have a master's, and I think there's a place for it and for everyone. But if you're not going down that road to college and you haven't figured out what you want to do, get paid to learn along the way. Look at an apprenticeship. Don't forget the unions.
Great.
Well, wow. This has really been enlightening. And I've been in the union business for over 30 years now. And I think this is the first that I have actually sat and talked with an individual who wants to encourage women to get out and get more involved in the trades. I've had multiple conversations with Donna, and she talked about the struggles of being the first Black woman who was engaged in the trades. And so I really applaud your efforts to get our youth out there, and also for those that have had some stumbling blocks, getting them back on their feet again so that they can get out there and start supporting their families and empowering themselves, that their lives are not just based on what their past have been. So again, I would really like to thank you for taking the time out and coming to talk to us about this. And I look forward to seeing you again next month when we can talk about some of the trials and tribulations, because all that glitters is in gold. And so I'd like for us to focus a little more on how you prepare those students for actual real life, being out there in the trades, trying to make it, but running into a few obstacles. So again, thank you very much, Pat.
You're welcome. I will see you next month.
Marvelous.
Good.
Well, brothers and sisters, we are at that witching hour where it's time for us to say holla. Thank you very much for joining us for the labor segment of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tune into Cable every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians.